Peace, shanti, shanti, peace. Hello.
Hello.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to you then.
We're going to talk about something that I don't usually talk about, which is, what is a yani? The reason I'm talking about this evening is because many people ask me this question, and usually there's an answer. For instance, when they call me on the phone today and they ask me, Robert, are you a yani? I usually keep silent when such a question is asked. But I've been keeping silence for a long time, and people keep asking the question. So I'll try to explain what this is all about. What I usually do now when people ask me a question, you and Yanni, I say, first tell me, what do you mean by you, and what do you mean by Yanni? And they usually say, well, you, Robert, I mean, is Robert enlightened? And I have to laugh at that. Because Robert cannot be enlightened. There's no such thing as Robert being enlightened. Robert is an idiot. Robert has absolutely nothing to do with enlightenment. So if I say, I am a Yanni, I'm referring to Robert, and that's erroneous. Therefore, be careful when people tell you that. They say, I'm enlightened, I'm a Yanni. Be very careful, people like that. Because I refers to the I thought. The I thought is an illusion, it's part of Maya, it's a mirage. The I can never be enlightened. I can never be enlightened. It's impossible. I can never be self-realized. But the self, which is yourself, myself, the one self, which exists all by itself, self-contained absolute reality, is enlightenment itself. Now the question may say, you may ask, is I am enlightened? I am is enlightened. When you speak of I am, none of you enlightened, none of you self-realized. I am enlightened. Those words are all synonymous. I am enlightened is the same thing. But that's not a person, place, or thing. In other words, we're all the same. We're all one. There's really no difference between me and you. I guess the only difference is when you look at me, you see a person. You see a so-called human being. When I look at you, I see the self. I see pure awareness. Why do I see this? I don't know. But when you look at me, you see yourself, what you think you are. Consequently, when you think you're a human being and you have human attributes, you're going to see the same in me. And you'll ask me a silly question, am I enlightened? If you want to know anything about enlightenment, then you have to become enlightened yourself. If you want to know anything about self-realization, you have to become self-realized yourself. That's the only time you'll ever know this. Otherwise, words are a waste of time. Think of all the words we speak continuously. It's really all a waste of time to get us nowhere. Think of all the words you've spoken since you were born. A lot of words. Not a lot to say. Where did it get you? Here you are, sitting here, looking for enlightenment, looking for something, trying to become something. And you believe words will do it. Words are really totally meaningless. Even when we speak words of spirituality, such as absolute reality, Brahman, Nirvana, ultimate reality, those are just words. What do these words really do for you? Nothing. What you want to do is to contemplate the truth. You have to ponder the truth in order to awaken. You have to ponder the truth, for instance, that Brahman is. And because Brahman is, I am. When you can ponder this, think about this, what this really means to you. What you're really saying when you say this. You will see that something is happening inside of your heart. Your heart is opening up. And when your heart opens up, you will find out that you are the Self. Consciousness, which has always been. There never was a time when consciousness was not. Consciousness accommodates you, accommodates the universe, accommodates the galaxies, accommodates God. In other words, everything that you physically see rests in consciousness. But consciousness is not dressed in anything. It is so beyond words and thoughts that trying to explain it, you know, trying to explain fire. So we get to the stage where we stop looking for answers, we stop looking for anything, and we just remain the way we are. If you can only remain the way you are, you will be the Self. For the Self knows no past, no future. The Self doesn't know anything, because it's everything. It's self-contained absolute reality. So there's nothing for it to know, since it's all things already. You can only know something when you're not that at all. To know something means you don't know. So you have to know. But what we call consciousness is all pervading. in his everything. So it's nothing. You can only be nothing when you're everything. When you think something is missing, you have to search for something. An example, most of us here are looking for self-realization, we're looking for Buddhahood. We're looking to become one with the Source. The looking will keep you back. Since you're looking for something that really is and always has been. Therefore, when you're looking for it, you're saying it's not here. So you have to search, you have to look. It is the mind that causes all this nonsense. It is the mind that makes you search for yourself when you're already yourself. It is the mind that tells you all these stories that something is wrong someplace. That you're not happy. Or that you're too happy. When you hear that the mind says all this, it's therefore your duty to transcend the mind. To stop the mind from doing these things. To stop the mind from leading you around from pole to post. Causing you happiness sometimes and causing you misery sometimes. It is the mind that has created this whole universe. Everything that you behold with your eyes, with your senses, you hear, you taste, you touch, you feel, is really the mind. Nothing else but the mind. And yet there is no mind. So what's going on around here? We're told the mind causes our problems, then we hear there's no mind. Well, both are correct. As long as you believe you're a human being, you're going to have a mind to contend with. As long as you believe you're a person, place, or thing, you'll have a mind to contend with. When you begin to sit still, and you look upon the mind, the thoughts, you witness the thoughts, you watch the thoughts, the mind slows down. As you continue witnessing the thoughts, watching the thoughts, the mind becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, and you become happier and happier and happier. Bliss comes when the mind is at rest. Unalloyed happiness comes when the mind is inactive. As long as the mind is active, there will always be problems. For an active mind lives in the world of duality. Good and bad. Right and wrong. Up and down. Only when the mind is totally transcended will you find real peace. Yet you already real peace. You are very pure awareness. You are very total joy and harmony. Yet you keep seeking for something that you already are. Why do you do this? Because you believe you're a human being. You believe you have to solve problems. Take action of some kind. Unless you do it, nobody else will do it. But I tell you, nobody has to do anything. What has to be done will be done without you. You're not needed. Nobody wants you. Nobody needs you. Give up. This is a very important part to understand. It is only when you feel this way, when you give up, that the truth comes out. As long as you feel you're somebody, something, you're filled with good thoughts, bad thoughts, preconceived ideas, dogmas. You can never surrender, you can never give up. But when you begin to see yourself as nothing, when you begin to realize your thoughts do not matter, things that happen in your life do not really matter, because things will always work themselves out. For you live in a universe that loves you. You live in a universe of pure joy. You can only see this when you stop identifying with things. When you no longer take concern of what you should eat, what you should wear, where you should go, then something strange happens. The power that knows the way, that grows the mangoes and the mango trees, the papayas, apples, pears, grows wheat, the power that gives you sunshine, enough sunshine to maintain and sustain this whole universe, in order to be life here. When you surrender to this power, it will take care of you. This is something we all have to understand. There's a power that loves us. You may call this God, divine intelligence, because that's what you call it. But there's a power that loves you and will take care of you and will enlighten you and delight you. But your job is to surrender to it totally, absolutely. To let go of your personal ambitions, let go of trying to become something. To let go of all the earthly things, so to speak. And it's only then that this power that knows the way will come to your aid. I lift you up in the stream of pleasantness. But you won't know what hit you. You'll be blissed out. Every one of us sitting here has the right to awaken. It makes no difference which is in the past. For the past only exists when you think about it. Otherwise, where is the past? Even such things as karma, samskaras, the world of samsara, all of these things have no power at all if you not think about them and if your source does not go backwards into time. If you stay centered, then there's no one to experience karma. There's no karma for the one who is centered. Living in the moment. Living in total bliss in the moment. That one is already free and liberated. But the one who starts thinking about the future, starts lamenting about the past, never gets anywhere. And karma is too real for that particular person. Well, karma belongs to the past and the future, not in the present moment. Therefore, ask yourself, who are you? Who am I? Never forget to ask yourself that question. Who am I? Where did I come from? Remember, you're saying, where did I come from? You're separating the I from yourself. You're not saying, where did Jane come from? Where did Joe come from? You're saying, where did I come from? The I. The I thought that thinks all day long. Remember, there's the I thought that keeps you in bondage, so to speak. You're always referring to yourself as I, which is a mistake. Inquire where the I came from. Who gave it birth? Who nourished it? Upon inquiry, you'll find the I never existed to begin with again. There never was an I thought. There never was anything. are totally free. Absolutely free. This is why coming to sitting is so important. We're out in the world of Maya, which seems to be so strong, so powerful. It makes you believe all sorts of things. It shows you all kinds of pictures, and you react to them, you respond to them. It causes you fear, frustration, unhappiness. Awaken from the mortal dream. There's no longer anything that can harm you in any way. You are free. Feel this freedom in your heart. You no longer have a past or a future. It's all gone. Yet what do you see? What do you feel? Feel the joy welling up inside of you. The happiness, love, what you really are. Feel it. It makes no difference what experiences you've been through up to this point. Your background makes no experience whatsoever. You are not your background or your experience. This is all dead wood. Now is the time. Right now. Awaken to your reality right now. Do it. There are no hindrances, there are no interference. There's nothing there that can interfere with you. Nothing can hinder you. There's nothing that can punish you. You are total freedom. Yes, you are. that you are consciousness. You have always been consciousness. The body is by the appearance. Like the print on the page. When there's print on the white paper, you see the print. But if it weren't for the paper, there would be no print. The print only appears because there's paper. And so is with consciousness. Your image of a person appears only because it's consciousness. Consciousness is the only reality. Do not think about this. Become it. Do not believe you have to identify with a white paper or with consciousness. There's no one to identify with anything. When you realize you don't have to take sides, by taking sides, I mean identifying with the good and negating the bad, this is not what you're supposed to do. This implies duality. There's really no good, no bad. There's only the one self, and you are that. Why will you not believe me? There's only one perfect self. The one absolute reality. And you're all that. That's what you are. You are perfect. Blissful. Joyous. Happy. Accept this for yourself. Feel it now. Feel stronger than ever the presence. Power. Do not think about it. Do not speak words to yourself. Just be. Be that which you already are. notice how your thoughts begin to slow down. As your thoughts slow down, you're feeling peace that you never felt before. You're feeling a happiness, a harmony that you never felt before. It's happening all by itself. I know some of you are feeling this right now. It's beautiful. In this knowledge, you become all-pervading. You're omnipresent. You are the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the ocean, planets. It is all taking place within you. Feel it.
Faces on. You just go on up the hill and you come to Flagmore Place on Belden, and then turn off the Belden and shot the hairpin turn to the left on the Flagmore. And continue on Flagmore and come up over the top of the in Durand. And then come up over the top of the hill on Durand. And Durand and Preston Drive were half blocks further on the right hand side.
I'll never get here tonight.
Yeah. Turns into Durand. Durand is Flagmore ends and then Durand.
Good luck. People have been trying to find Henry's house for 10 years.
Yeah, it's the third time he's gone today. He's having a hard time getting here. But he's coming. He'll be here in a moment.
So anyway, all is well. Things are like they should be. You're like you should be. Love yourself just the way you are. Be happy. Don't worry about a thing. Put yourself into the lap of consciousness. Melt into consciousness. Don't worry about anything. You're already free and all is well. Feel free to ask some questions.
There are no yonis.
No.
There's only yonim. There are no yonis. There's only yonim.
Yes, exactly.
Father, tonight you said if we observe our mind, it'll slow down. But 2 weeks you said to completely ignore the mind. Don't
same ignore thing. When you observe it, you ignore it. No difference.
Well, you said that when you observe it, you're giving it some energy.
If you're thinking about it, if you just observe it, you're ignoring it.
So not get involved with it at all.
Exactly. When you think about the mind, when you think about the source, then you're giving it energy. Yeah. When you just observe and just watch and leave it alone and do nothing, where does the energy come from? There's no energy to give it. So you ignore the mind by observing it. Then you will find out that there's no mind. You've been wasting your time for years observing something that doesn't exist. Why would you want to do that, Bob? All this talk about observing minds, watching minds, in truth, there's really nothing to watch, nothing to observe. I'm just sitting here telling these things because you want to hear me talk. But there's nothing to do. There's nothing to observe, there's nothing to watch. Who watches, who observes? The one who believes they are a body, a dua. When you get rid of the misconception that you're a dua, a watcher, you have nothing to watch, nothing to do. But as long as you believe you are a dua, then you'll think of all kinds of practices that you want to do. Go practice yoga, meditation, japa, mantra, pranayama. You do all of these things because you think you're a dua. But when the realization comes to you that you're not a doer, then who's to do anything? There's nothing to do. So know the truth about yourself. I am not a doer, therefore I have absolutely nothing to do. I am at peace with myself and the whole universe. And all is well. You see, my friends, nothing really exists. You don't exist, I don't exist, nothing exists. Everything is an illusion. Everything is an appearance. It appears to exist but doesn't exist. Everything that you see is an hallucination. You've been hallucinating for years. Time you stopped.
Oh, you made it. Congratulations.
Thank you. You did it pretty fast.
He's been having a hard time getting here.
He started out this morning.
What?
He started out this morning.
I don't know. When did you start out? How long have you been at it? He's been giving me reports on the telephone from time to time throughout the day.
All is well. Feel free to ask some questions.
You mentioned karma being of the past and being of the future, but not being of the present. The question is, how can anything be of the past, be of the future, and not be of the present, unless it may be in a different and transformed
existence? A different
existence. Unless it is perhaps in a transformed existence. In other words, it's not like karma, but it's something else.
There really is no past and there's no future. When you think of karma, just by thinking, you're really thinking of the past and the future, just by thinking alone. So by thinking about the past, then it's impossible to have any karma there at all. There's no place for it to come from. Because there's only this moment happening. This moment is happening every moment. It comes from nowhere. It's not attached to anything. There's just this perfect moment which is right this now. Therefore, karma never existed in the now. Because there's no room for it. There has to be room in your mind for karma and everything else, for samsaras. Everything has to have room. When you think about the past and the future, you're giving it room. But when you're sensing in the moment, in the now, in the second, there's no room for anything. You just are now, you just are being, pure being, right now, this moment, this instant. And there's nothing there. There's no room for it. Again, only when you expand the mind by thinking does the mind contrive all these things. Karma, reincarnation. It all comes from thinking of the past and the future. But if you stay sensitive in the moment, in the second, where would the room be for it to come? There's no room. But there's only this instant. Whatever is happening is really happening this instant.
In reality, there's no present either.
True. In the true reality, there's absolutely nothing.
Zilch.
Everything is wiped out. But when I have to sit in and talk to you like this, it has to come up with all kinds of things where there's a component to think about. Remember again that nothing we speak of is not the void. It is beyond the void. This nothingness I'm speaking of is ineffable. And it's beyond words and thoughts. It's not something we can ever understand with our finite minds.
The void is a mental concept.
Yes. Everything is a mental concept. Anything that you think about, anything that comes into your mind is a mental concept. Whether it's God or the self or whatever you're thinking about. Therefore, the existing place of those plans has to stop thinking it's all there to think about. Use whatever method you want to restore the source, whatever method that you have, a method that you're used to, use whatever method that you like to stop the thoughts. By ignoring them, by watching them, by asking to whom they come, who thinks. But by all means, do something to keep the thoughts from attacking you. From telling you what to do and how to live. Well, what do you think? Is there any hope for us?
None, so whatever.
It's okay, don't worry. Bent for heaven.
What's that?
Something in your mind.
Well, then we should throw it away.
Get rid of it as soon as you can. Don't you want to go to heaven, Henry?
You tell me what it is and I'll consider it.
Is a place where you sing beautiful songs?
No, not interested. You can have all that angel crap.
Heaven is pure awareness.
We need to know angels.
Not according to him.
How about that?
He's a little screwed up, you know.
They're all words. Oh, man.
Whether you believe that's the way it is.
It's all a product of the mind.
What if you don't believe anything?
Then you're nothing.
You're in good shape.
Thank you. You hear that?
You could.
Yeah.
Robert, could you comment on this? It's a story, an old Indian story. I'd just like to hear your comment. There was a guru, and he told his students, don't worry, everything is wrong. Everything is God. And so one of the students heard that and left the teacher's place. And on the way home, there was a mad elephant and raging through the town, and somebody ran by and said, look out, there's a mad elephant. And the student said, well, everything is wrong. And it kept on his way. And the elephant came by and picked him up and threw him down and crushed him. And later on, the guru came by and said, well, how did this happen? And the guy said, well, you told me everything was God, and there was a mad elephant come by, and I tried to see him as God, and he picked me up and threw me down and crushed me. He said, well, how come you didn't see the person that warned you about the mad elephant that was going to come by? How come you didn't see him as God? How this connects to what you were saying is, if everything is nothing and we shouldn't worry about it, that's so. Steamrollers are nothing, and trucks are nothing, and pay your rent or get out notices are nothing. But, you see what kind of what I'm trying to...
Of course. Yeah. There's a story so many times in this story. Always remember, in the absolute sense, there is nothing. But as long as there's a body, the body will be taken care of in the right way. You will listen to a person tell you something if you have to listen. You will make the right decisions. You'll know what to do. This is what I was talking about earlier. There's a power that knows the way. There's a power that will take care of you. You came to this earth for a specific purpose. As far as your body is concerned, in the ultimate reality, there's no purpose for anything. But as long as you're referring to it, you're talking about the story, you came to this earth for a purpose. And your purpose will be accomplished without any help from you. If you will keep your mind on God, so to speak, by contemplating the ultimate reality, by realizing that your ultimate oneness, pure awareness, and leave your body alone, your body will know what to do. It'll take care of itself. It'll know where to go. It'll know what to eat. It'll take care of itself perfectly without any help from you. And it'll do a better job than you can ever do to help it. Therefore, if you're going home tonight and someone tells you the freeway is broken, then that's the day I don't care, I'm going to go on the freeway anyway.
Right.
The wisdom, and you will tell you what to do. You'll know what to do. You'll always be told what to do from within. The power within will tell you what to do. It will guide you and lead you and direct you in the right path. So that you can have peace, prosperity, happiness, joy, love. And it will unfold in the right way. It will take care of itself. But if you identify with the situation, then you may or may not benefit from it. But if you take care of the situation without thinking about a condition and situation, but keeping your mind steady in the infinite, then your body will take care of itself. It will know what to do. And will be guided in the right place, meet the right people, right beings, right everything. Right action will ensue, and I'll find everything is working out okay.
That sounds as though we should end up with good physical health and not suffer from these various pains and ills.
As you unfold, as you go higher in this path, what seems to be some power that hurts you begins to dissipate. an example. You may go on this path and develop cancer in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you will not look at it that way. It will not matter to you whatsoever. You will not be concerned with it. It will not be, mean one thing to you. The other people will see you suffering from cancer. But you will be totally meaningless. For you have discovered something that the average person hasn't discovered yet. And you will be in glory, you will be in peace, you will be in joy, even though your body is being eaten away by cancer.
Transcended the mind and the body.
Exactly. You are not the person who's having the cancer. That's an appearance that seems to be like you. But you're not that whatsoever. In other words, everything will take care of itself in the most beautiful way. Because the nature...
It seems that the body and the mind should reach a... Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean even intellectually.
The body and reality does not exist. The mind and reality does not exist. So nothing is really happening to the body or the mind. And as you work on yourself, and as you go higher in consciousness, you will see this, feel this. This means that things that used to disturb you and bring you these problems will no longer be valid. They'll all be gone.
But you say the body will know how to take care of itself. In my thought would be that the body should enjoy good, what we consider physical health.
If you're speaking of physical health, then you're in a category that has been enlightened, or nowhere near enlightenment. But as you go higher, who is in this physical health? What exists that needs to be physically healthy?
It takes a body to be physically
healthy. There's no body. The body isn't yours anymore. There's no longer a body that needs to be healthy. Only when you're a human being is a body that needs to be healthy. As you advance spiritually, there's nobody left that needs to be healthy or sick. Those words are gone from your vocabulary. They no longer exist. But when you think of health, it means that you're sick, so you're thinking of health. Is there no such thing as sickness? Would you be thinking of health?
One of the opposites of non-existence.
Sure. You only think of health because you think of sickness. But as you transcend and you go higher, there's nobody left to think that way. That thinking begins to dissipate, totally disappear out of your system, out of your life. Yet, others who see themselves will see you as themselves. So they're steeped in Maya, they will therefore see you suffering. But you're not suffering. Because as far as you're concerned, there's no one left to suffer. The suffer has been eliminated. You're in total joy, total bliss. That's the story of Jesus and the crucifixion, Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna with cancer, and many other stages of suffering, so to speak. Who sees them suffering? The body, the mind. But if you ask them if they suffer, they'll say no. Well, you see it. The reality doesn't exist. Mary, would you read the end?
For a Yani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchidananda Atman, the continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless, consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Yani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
Yes.
The book has finally arrived, and those of you who have put in your order, please see Emilio or Jane. Anyway, and it's beautiful. We have an announcement about
the Bandara.
The Bandara, yes.
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone that the Bandara is this Sunday at 1 o'clock here. And if you haven't signed up already to bring a dish, please do sign up so you can see what's already been signed up and, you know, what kinds of things we need. And there'll be entertainment and decorations and We're looking forward to everyone being here. Vegetarian dish. Mary coached me.
It is now time for prasad, which you've been waiting for so long. I see your mouth watering all while I'm talking.
Okay.